It's Thursday, April 23rd, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Cellier in Tel Aviv. Don't miss a single episode. Be sure to sign up with your email using the link in the comments below. President Trump continues his blockade of Iranian ports and warns that the bombing could resume imminently. As the oil price heads higher, European leaders are holding a conference on how to keep the straits open once the fighting has stopped, of course. Well, I'll be speaking with Franco-British journalist and Daily Telegraph columnist Anne-Elisabeth Moutet about that in just a moment. But first, the headlines. President Trump says he will maintain a chokehold on Iranian ports until a deal to remove the country's enriched uranium can be reached. The ceasefire was extended indefinitely Wednesday after neither side showed up to peace talks in Pakistan. The US Navy seized three Iranian tankers near the coasts of Malaysia, Sri Lanka and India yesterday, while Iran attacked and seized at least two ships in the Persian Gulf. Oil prices jumped more than 4% on the news. Lebanon and Israel are set to resume direct negotiations in Washington at 4 p.m. local time. Beirut is expected to request a one-month extension to the ceasefire, which expires on Sunday. It will also ask the IDF to stop striking areas under its control. Israel's Foreign Minister Gideon Saar says that only Hezbollah is the obstacle to a deal. Just how popular does Hamas remain among the people of Gaza? Well, a key indicator will be this weekend's local elections in the Strip, the first in 20 years. The Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas has allowed polling stations to open in the city of Deir al-Bala in the Strip. All Hamas lists and candidates are barred from running. Early figures suggest a lack of enthusiasm amid the 70,000 registered voters whose choices are limited to Fatah candidates or technocratic independents. The United States has blocked a shipment of about $500 million in cash for Iraq and has also suspended some security cooperation with Baghdad. The move is meant to pressure Iraq over the continued attacks by pro-Iranian militia on US targets in the country. The Trump administration has warned Baghdad it will no longer tolerate these attacks. The move is also designed to pressure Baghdad regarding the appointment of its next prime minister. In the tech sector, an Israeli startup founded by 26-year-old Miriam Hart has raised $10 million in a seed round led by investors based in the UAE. The company, Action AI, is developing systems to monitor, audit and improve artificial intelligence in real time, helping businesses to safely deploy it in high-stakes industries like finance, healthcare and security. The funding underscores the growing technological ties between Israel and the Gulf, even amid the ongoing regional tensions. Before we get to today's conversation, a quick thank you to our sponsors, Amy and Jonathan Ayres, who made today's episode possible. Now, my conversation with Anne-Elisabeth Moutet. Anne-Elisabeth Moutet, good morning and welcome to Israel in 10. Great to have you with us.
Good morning and very happy to be on.
How are the Europeans responding to President Trump's decision to continue to enforce a blockade on Iranian ports?
Not everybody in Europe has the same attitude. They are worried about oil and fuel supplies. They distrust Trump. They have sometimes reasons to distrust Trump. But I think you would find some of these more towards Eastern Europe than in Western Europe. And Western Europe also has got Trump derangement syndrome. But on this one, the idea is that he doesn't know what he's doing and he has no game plan. If you look at what Trump is doing in the Gulf, the presentation is chaotic because that is actually, I suspect, in Trump's mind, it's not a bug, it's a feature. And some of it is actually chaotic because he's not somebody who dots every P and Q. But at the same time, I also think that there's a game plan and that the Europeans are not crazy about seeing it.
Direct talks between Israel and Lebanon continue today. There is a perception here in Israel that President Macron and his government are trying to stop peace between Israel and Lebanon. Is that fair?
There is complete anger and annoyance and spite and disgust at the fact that, in effect, France has been sort of excluded from the talks. And it's perfectly understandable from the American and Israeli point of view, because France is in terms of Lebanon, France has been taking sides, not always the same sides, but it does take sides. It's very interesting that a French soldier, a gendarme, has been killed by Hezbollah fire. And Emmanuel Macron's statement was that it was combatants of Hezbollah, fighters from Hezbollah, and not calling them what they are, which is an added component to a Lebanese society that the Lebanese society is trying to reject right now. There's a view that Hezbollah is legitimate in Lebanon, and there's no reason why Hezbollah should be legitimate in Lebanon. There was another one in which there was fire against a French group of soldiers at UNIFIL, and same thing. It was, we know that France was not targeted. Well, UNIFIL was targeted. It was intended. It's not like a car accident. So I don't think France is a fair partner. I think it's fair to notice that Emmanuel Macron visited Lebanon several times. He came immediately to Lebanon after the explosion in the harbor of Beirut. That was like an earthquake because a massive depot of military-grade chemicals belonging to Hezbollah. And then he was completely unable to accuse Hezbollah in words of one syllable.
Well, just from my own experience of working in the French media for many years, I felt as though there was a reluctance to even admit that Hezbollah exists.
They see Hezbollah, and it's not just Macron. I remember a visit by Jacques Chirac in which Madame Chirac met with members of the Hezbollah party. This is 25 years ago. But it is perfectly true that Hezbollah took power in southern Lebanon partly by building both a political wing and social services that Lebanon is cruelly lacking, with the result that it was seen as a perfectly normal partner and completely neglecting the fact that in 1983, Hezbollah killed 221 American Marines and 58 French paratroopers in Beirut. That they killed our ambassador, Louis de Lamar, to Syria at the Lebanese-Syrian border, and that Hezbollah has been a bad actor in the region ever since, and that anybody who knows Lebanon knows perfectly well that Hezbollah was subservient to the Syrians who were playing the Iranian game, and that then Hezbollah became a sort of direct influence in the country. It's anybody who watches the Middle East knows that. Everybody who is present in Africa, which France was for hundreds of years, also knows what Hezbollah has been wreaking through proxies throughout Africa. This is not naivety unless they, you know, they are completely innocent. And I don't believe that the French Quai d'Orsay is completely innocent or naive. I think they're competent, but they have a slump.
Now that one of Israel's staunchest allies has gone, that's Viktor Orban, of course, in Hungary, are we going to see more European moves against Israel?
We are going to see a clearer majority on taking decisions that will affect Israel. And the first example is, of course, for the International Criminal Court to be recognized by most European countries. For instance, Viktor Orban was a supporter of Israel, and he blocked every decision that was taken to from being unanimous on deciding that Israel was acting illegally and that Prime Minister himself should be arrested if he came to the country. I was quite surprised that after making a statement on the evening of his victory, and I was in Hungary at the time, Peter Magyar, the new Prime Minister, made a statement saying that Hungary immediately wanted to join the International Criminal Court, and then said that if Benjamin Netanyahu came to Hungary, he would have to be arrested. It's one thing to be part of the, to subscribe to the International Criminal Court, and it's the other to make a statement saying, yes, we will arrest him. So that was pretty brutal. I understand perfectly well where Magyar is coming from. He wants to decapitate the Orban influence within the civil service, and he wants to do this very fast. But that was something that was shocking, especially since within 2 days of his election, he had said that there were lots of Israelis living in Hungary, lots of Hungarian living in Israel, that the two countries were friendly, and that there was no reason to change policy. Nobody in Hungary objects to the Israel alliance that I've heard of. It is not at all like Western Europe.
Do you think that relations between Israel and Western Europe can be salvaged, or are they just going to go from bad to worse?
I don't know how much Western Europeans have cottoned on to the fact that they are under attack And the people who attack them are people who also help Iran attack Israel, who've helped Hezbollah attack Israel, etc., and connected the dots. I think Germany has, I think Austria has, I think the Czech Republic has, I think the Baltics have, I think Ukraine actually has. Israel has got steadfast enemies. Ireland, Spain, Poland is not going to change its position. I think Giorgia Meloni, Italy, and that's really important because Italy is a founding nation of the European Union. Italy is not going to turn on Israel. The British, what you get from Labour right now is it's not going to last long because Keir Starmer is toast. How strong is public opinion, even when it's opposing the current government, is strong enough to push them like France to decide that it's not worth batting in Israel's court. Things are workable country by country, and that requires extremely good and sensitive diplomats.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Be sure to sign up with your email and get these updates daily. Goodbye.